Okay, Hare Krishna. Let's get all back. So, did you hear some interesting questions? Okay. Did you hear some good answers? Who heard some good answers? Okay. All right. Anything you want to discuss in the whole class of your questions? Yes?
We are discussing that sometimes these are Vaishnavas, spiritual masters, even Vaishnavas, and they come very high as far as the disciples and people who serve within. Can we discuss with someone about that? Why such and such is so hard?
Hard.
Strictness with the same.
Sometimes they get out, small things, they become very really angry.
So somebody is very irritable, easily irritated.
Yeah.
So the question is, can we
discuss
where?
With another devotee.
Oh, so this person is irritable, and I discuss this with somebody else.
So
it's a good question, right? So. Oh, okay, yes, good. Because what? Yes, it's actually not only Vaishnava aparat, it's also completely useless. Just, you know, even if we don't take into account this magic power of destroying our bhakti by criticizing a Vaishnava, just, you know, from a practical point of view, even, you know, like outside. So let's say somebody has a defect. So if I discuss with somebody else this defect, what does it help me? Does it help me? Does it help other person? No. So that it's completely useless. There is no purpose. There's absolutely no purpose. If for example, this second person is the superior or the leader of this discussed person, then it's another thing. I may come and ask, Prabhuji, he's your subordinate and he does this and this. Can you please do something? That's one thing. But usually we discuss not with the superior, not ask this person to go and help. We just try to, titillate to our false ego. Oh, he's so bad. Do you know what did he do? Oh, he did this and that. Right? Well, yeah, so it means, you know, we just try to feel some false superiority or, you know, just, this is our bad taste. We like to taste some rotten things. You know, some rotten things, just. But there, it has no meaning, no good purpose, no good result. Actually, Tulsidas, famous Tulsidas, says that gossip is criticism is a very dangerous snake. It comes out of the mouth of one person, it bites into the ear of the second person, and a third person outside dies. Yes, because of this. Very dangerous thing. So nobody is benefited. Nobody gets any benefit. Completely. Only loss. Everybody is losing. Everybody just lost. So thank you. It's a good point. It's the worst kind of prajalpa. It's prajalpa and it's the worst kind of prajalpa, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, criticizing devotees. You had something on this point? If you are not trying to relish, and if you just give this as an example, for example, in some preaching, that's one thing. You know, you're not. Yeah, right. Again, it's not to relish these things, and it shouldn't be heard by. You know, there are some people who are have some problem. They are so attached to. No criticism. They think, you know, they're even websites just criticism. They think that it's their service to, you know, denigrate and paint black every devotee that there is. Yes.
So he said, well, the Christian has given routine two things: to criticize others and glorify yourself.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes.
So he's given us routine two things: just to criticize other people and glorify
yourself. It's two sides of the same thing. Because if I put down somebody else, automatically I feel, you know, higher. Because I can criticize, right? Just like there is one devotee, nice devotee, Madhavananda Prabhu. He gave one seminar about respect, saying that ours is a culture of respect. We respect everybody. So he was telling how there are always pure devotees in this world. Otherwise, world does not exist. Always pure devotees are there. And he was saying that he was talking to somebody and the person was saying, we don't have pure devotees. There is no pure devotees. There is no pure devotees in ISKCON. So another one said, Prabhuji, you are wrong. We have at least one pure devotee. So he said, who is that? He said, it's you. Yes. Because if you can judge, you know, if you can clearly examine everybody and say for sure, then you must be a pure devotee. Right? So we are saved. At least you are here, right? So that's the underlying supposition, right? That's the presumption. If I can judge everybody, it means I am in a position to judge. It means I am high. Thank you. It's a good point. You want something else on this point? Shima Kripa, Mother? Shima Kripa? Okay.
No offense meant to the
It's not even a problem that they have different rules. You know, it's okay. Maybe there are some people who, although even in ISKCON, you know, we have different levels. Somebody may not be able to chant, you know, 16 rounds. Okay, of course they don't get initiation, but they are accepted, they are respected. But you know, like out of so many, out of all these groups, you can see. I know. Like 1.5 groups only that make devotees on the street. That actually go out and make devotees. The person was not a devotee and they made him a devotee. The rest, they seem to be focused only on criticizing ISKCON and trying to snatch somebody from ISKCON. They cannot make a devotee, you know, on the street. They just take a ready devotee and they try to poison his faith and, you know, by criticism, and they make the person move to their camp. And those people who are making devotees on the street, it's very interesting. These are people who are not criticizing. You can notice. Maybe they, like one of these groups, one of these Gaudiyamas, they don't even have like very strict principles. Some of their followers, they don't follow very strict principles. But you can see that at least they are not criticizers. They are not blasphemers and criticizers. And because of this, you can see they have power. They have power to turn non-devotee into a devotee. Just not even being very, you know, strict or austere, but not criticizing, and they can make devotees on the street. They don't like to re-initiate, like these two groups, I mean. They don't like to give re-initiation. I know one devotee that I know, he went to one of these Maharajas and he said, you already have a guru, how can I give you initiation? You already have a guru, why should I give you initiation? And you can see that they can preach. They have power to preach because of that. So, that's the thing. It's more dangerous to blaspheme devotees than even to be non-austere, you know, or maybe not strict in some things. Okay, I'm weak, right? But if I think I'm strong, I'm strict, and I discuss so many things, but if I just criticize everybody, it's actually more detrimental to the advancement in the ocean service. All right, let's. You remember what you wanted to say? Yes. Very good. That's a good question. And I will do a trick. I will turn it around onto you. So this is a home task. So we have discussed this, that this is a turning point. This is the, you know, like if you are going in the mountains, there you go up, 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 and then you reach a point from where it's all the way down. It's much more easier from that point. So this respect to everybody, and especially respect to all the devotees, respecting all the devotees, is the basis on which we can actually chant and turn our dry chanting into nectar. From there it begins. Yes. So please, for the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Monday till the class, experiment and see. Try to catch yourself. Try to not criticize anybody at all. Anybody at all. And if you feel some urge or desire, or you catch yourself criticizing, try to find a way to turn it into a respectful attitude. So try to work on this and see how you can develop some technique or what works for you that helps you personally to turn desire to criticize into a respectful attitude, into respect. This is one homework, one of the home tests. Okay? Yeah, it's the most difficult. It's the most important. Okay? Because again, if you don't apply, what's the point of studying? So please try to apply this very, very seriously for these 3 days. Okay? Very strictly, criticizing nobody at all. Okay? And then one more home task. The next chapter has a very beautiful name. And the name is, what's the name? Techniques of Hearing and Remembering. Very interesting name, right? Techniques. Prabhupada writes in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that what we are looking for here is techniques of spiritual life in the Shastra. That's what we are interested very much. Not some external form, some pleasure, but techniques of spiritual life. Techniques means it's practical. It's some practical thing that works in your life and changes your life. Changes my behavior. So therefore, the second homework was something you were already working upon. What is something that you already have been working upon? This is attentive listening and hearing. Not chanting, but chanting and listening. And see if you can actually hear. Go beyond the mind and actually hear. If not, at least listen. If cannot listen, then at least think about something connected to Krishna. Right? You can chant and see the form of Krishna. Chant and think of some Krishna's pastimes. Or pray. Chant and pray to Krishna. Ask for something as you're praying. Ask for something spiritual. In other words, listening is better. Listening is and hearing is ideal. But if you cannot do this, then at least have the mind filled with something good, not with some useless thoughts, useless garbage thoughts. But at least think about Krishna while chanting. Even that will produce some taste. Yes? And so try to do that and find which techniques you can use that to help you to concentrate on the sound of the name. Alright? Personally. You have to find something that helps you. You have 3 days. You have to find something that can actually help you to catch your mind at least a little bit, at least for some time, to focus on the name. What technique works for you? Technique of chanting. And hearing. Not chanting. Hearing, actually. Okay? So this is the second task. Is it clear? So this is very important. Two very important home tasks. Probably two most important home tasks. These two things are probably the most important that we have to learn. So please, if you also meet somebody who is not here, tell them about these two home tasks. Okay? Is it clear? Any questions? You had something you wanted to say? Jai Govinda Prabhu, you had something? It's clear, yes? All right. So we have just a few more points here. left in this chapter. So one is something that we all easily can accept and happily practice. This is partaking of prasad. Partaking of prasad. Yes, it's universal religion. It is even said that it's quoted in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam that if you take one morsel of Vishnu prasad, one morsel of rice which is offered to Supreme Lord, then you get same benefit as you would get by one month of total fasting. So if you fast for 1 month, then you will get more benefit just by eating one handful of rice offered to Krishna. Of course, on Ekadashi we don't take rice. It is bona fide fasting, but this is the power of prasad. And then Charanamrita is described, the power of Charanamrita. Again, there's so many places in Shastra which describe the power of Charanamrita, water that washed the Supreme Lord. Last year there was a story in Govardhan. There was one Baba who lived there a little farther away. I think it was in Shamkuti, but I'm not sure. Shamkuti. And solitary, didn't have anybody, didn't accept disciples. And then all of a sudden he actually accepted some. He started accepting some disciples. They brought him some dakshina. They started bringing him some donations. So some robbers, they thought that he has money. So they came in the night to rob him. So they, in the night, nobody was there, so they came and opened the door and they said, "Where is your money?" So then he said, "Okay, just a moment, but please, before you take your money, just take some Charanamrita." And he gave them Charanamrita. And because still, even though they are gundas and dacoits, and still they are brijbasis, okay, Charanamrita, so automatically the hands comes up, yes? So automatically they got Charanamrita, they know, you know, you don't drop Charanamrita. So they drank Charanamrita. And when they drank Charanamrita, then all of a sudden they looked at each other, they looked at the Baba, and they just turned around and ran away. they became changed. Their consciousness became changed. This is the power of Charanamrita. I have there are many stories which glorify Charanamrita. It can actually give a feeling of ecstasy even to a materialist just taking Charanamrita. Yes? We all know the power of Charanamrita from Guru Maharaj, the power of Charanamrita from some exalted Vaishnavas and from the deities. There is one temple, and the temple president there, he used to be a drug addict, taking drugs. His mother was very, very thankful to ISKCON for making him a devotee, because it took him off drugs. She was always thanking the devotees. "Thank you for thanking the original secretary. Thank you so much for my son that he became a devotee." She herself became a devotee, and she actually left her body in Vrindavan. So this person, he was a drug addict, and he still has many old friends. Some of them are mafia people, you know, some of them are drug dealers, not dealers, but some higher. So they sometimes come to the temple, they drive in their, you know, expensive jeep to the temple, expensive cars, and then they call him, and then they ask him, "So, do you have any Charanamrita today?" So he goes and he has some good Charanamrita, he brings out, and he gives them, all of them, some Charanamrita. So they, like, you know, the experts, you know, they take four or five of them, they drink some Charanamrita, like, "Oh, it's a good, today is a good Charanamrita. I feel really high today." So they are actually, they know what is high. Yeah? they know very, very well what is high. But they are coming to take Charanamrita because this is a very special high. Not like from drugs. We know, yeah, we can take Charanamrita, just water. There's nothing else, just water there. Or maybe some yogurt or something. And you take and you feel bliss. You feel in ecstasy. It's better than drugs. It's the best drugs. Yes, because it's spiritual. Sometimes also prasadam. Yeah? Sometimes somebody cooks. Or like yesterday, we had mahaprasadam from the deities. Yeah? Did you feel some special? Yeah? You just eat and you feel like in bliss. Like, you know, like special high. Mind is so peaceful. Mind is so happy. Sometimes also there are people who, if they cook, some people, if this person cooks, then you eat, you may, you know, overeat or eat, you know, stuff yourself, but you feel so light and so happy. You feel so easy after eating this prasadam. Yeah? So this is the power of prasadam and spiritual ingredient of this, spiritual part of this prasadam. So even, you know, without this confirmation from the Shastra, we see in the practical life the power of Charanamrita, the power of prasadam, then the smelling the incense and flowers offered to the deity. Yeah? The quote is that some poisons are counteracted by some special herbs. Yeah. It's our pranayama, purifying the nose. Prabhupada says, any devotee coming into the temple should always offer something to the deity, fruit, flowers, incense, etc. Not just money, but also some gift to the Lord. If one cannot offer anything in cash, something else must be offered. You can see that everybody, the devotees, at least they, you know, one petal, at least something they offer to the deity. And the famous quote is, Kumaras, even Mayavadi are attracted. They become devotees by smelling incense offered to Krishna. Even, you know, I must tell you, I told you I was a Buddhist. And when I got the first Gita, I don't know why, but it smelled so heavenly. Maybe it was in a container with incense or something, but it has a very special, had a very special smell. So I was reading and it says, absolute is a person. So I think, how is this that absolute is a person? Maybe some aspect, but absolute, isn't it a very personal? But then I would, you know, just smell and then, okay, let me read further. And I would just read the whole book. I would read and smell a little bit, and I would read. And I became a devotee. And I know some devotees also became like this. They would read it and they would smell a little bit, and again they would read. Somehow it's not material, yes? Kumaras, they were not attracted to anything material, right? But when they smelled tulsi offered to Krishna's feet, then they felt ecstasy. And then they were surprised because they knew that no material quality can produce ecstasy in them. Any smell, you know, they renounced all the smells, they renounced everything. They didn't have the material desires to feel ecstasy from some smell. But here, they felt ecstasy. So they thought, wow, so this is spiritual, but this is spiritual variety. There is more to spirit than just, you know, being one, just impersonal. And they became devotees. This is the power. Shri Krishna Prasadam Ki Jai. Then touching the deity. Yes, the pujari, by everyday worshipping the deity, he touches the deity. And by that, his own body becomes spiritual. Because he's touching spiritual form of the Lord, and his own body becomes spiritualized by touching the Lord every day. Shyama Kripa Mataji, do you have some question? They what? Ah, yeah. Well, it's a different thing. If you are coming, staying in the temple, or coming to the temple every day, maybe you don't carry every day something. But you can at least carry a smile for the deity, right? I remember one spiritual master was saying, you know, when the deities are open, first, you know, smile at them, because everybody is coming with his problems and saying, "Oh, Krishna, please, you know, I'm suffering so much." So, you know, the curtain is opening and the Lord is looking. Everybody's oh, like this. So at least first, you know, smile at the deity, look at them, be happy to see how they, how nice are them, are they? Then offer your obeisances and sing. We're singing for them. And again, as I mentioned, we are coming not to see the deities, but to be seen by the deities, and we are coming to make the deities happy. That's devotional service. You're trying to please the deities by looking at them, by being there. You do it for them. Seeing the deity is here. It's, again, it's similar. Seeing the deity is very powerful. If you see the deity, then you will not see the Yamadutas. And seeing at the arati, observing the arati and celebrations or festivals. So this is a quote, very nice quote here. One, I don't know, one devotee, he read this book by this Yogananda or whatever, this autobiography of a yogi. Yeah? So he was very attracted by this idea of Kriya Yoga. And he was thinking, oh, Kriya Yoga, maybe I should do some Kriya Yoga. But Kriya Yoga is basically just some kind of worship with some particular exercises. But look this quote at this quote here, the last paragraph in this chapter, page 87. In the Agni Purana it is stated, any person who in gladness sees the worship of the deity in the temple will obtain the results of Kriya Yoga which are described in the Pancharatra scripture. Kriya Yoga is a system of practice much like practical devotional service, but it is especially meant for the mystic yogis, because there are some pranayam, bandhas and kriyas. In other words, by this gradual process, the mystic yogis are eventually elevated to the devotional service of the Lord. But if you just like to, with pleasure, just see how the Lord is worshipped, how they offer the lamp to the Lord, and if you just please think, and if you say, yes, this is nice, just by that, you achieve the ultimate goal of Kriya Yoga. Just by that. Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shri Radha Shyama Sundar Lalita Vishaka ki jai. Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Nidai Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. Yes? Yes. Sometimes we may take Sharanamrita cheaply or without respect, or just, you know, to enjoy the nice. Sometimes what they give is not actually Charanamrita. It's actually Madhuparka. It's something else mixed in Charanamrita. And that's why it's very tasty. There is honey, there is yogurt, there are some other things. So Charanamrita is there, but there is other things there. So it's a nice drink. So we think, sometimes we think, oh, let me drink this good lassi or whatever, you know, some nice drink. So this is disrespectful. Yeah, it may be offensive. Maybe offensive. We can drink a whole, you know, glass or whatever, cup, but if it's with proper respect, that's why it's recommended, you know, just 2 drops. But if you are respectful, then it's not a big problem. That's the main point. Again, it has to be respectful. For the pleasure. Touch. Usually, you know, like if you were in Mayapur, after the deity darshan in the morning, you go to the Nrisimha altar, and they, Jananivas or Pankajagra, comes out and he puts one funny thing on your head. Yeah? That looks funny. It looks like a crown or helmet or something. It actually are lotus feet of the deity. It's a they represent the lotus feet of the deity. So you are touched by the lotus feet of the deity by that that thing. You have this, yeah? So that's touching.
Yes, I have the Delhi temple. Yes, I have the Delhi temple. Yes,
Can I ask Mukunda Datta? Ask this question for Mukunda Datta.
It's not our self-reliance.
Maybe. And also, when we touch the garland or touch prasadam from the deities, it's the same as touching the deity. Okay, so let us very seriously look for ways how we can offenselessly, respectfully chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Please accept my humble obeisances. Namaskar, Guru Vishnu, Kripa Sindhu, Vyavasa, Patitanam, Bhavanembhu, Vaishnavembhu, Namaskar.